7654321.
It's now time for the Pony Cake Sports Podcast with your hosts, Josh Stevens, Tim Thompson, and Tom Schultz.
And Mike.
Woo!
Hey there, everybody. We are back with another episode, and I am with none other than Michael Agent.
How you doing? How you doing?
And Spencer Camp.
Hello, hello.
Talking to the microphone, please.
Hello, hello.
Thank you.
It's his first time.
Yeah.
It's like my third time.
We have no Tim. We have no Tom. Thank God. Oh, my God. I don't know if I could handle it right now if Tim was here.
I hate you, Tim.
Hey, let's draft Eli Manning.
Yeah. Man, who drafts Eli Manning? What do you draft him in? Like the ninth round? Doesn't matter because you don't draft Eli
Manning.
Go
back and listen to the episode and you can find out yourself.
Exactly. So we are going to be talking about a little bit of fantasy football, some football stuff in general, and some things about what we hate about Tim. All right? Sound good? So first off, I want to ask you guys, fantasy football draft, what is your biggest thing for a fantasy football draft? Is it the people? Is it the type of draft? Is it location? Or what's your complete fantasy football mold for a draft?
Well, I think first...
Let's go with Mike first. I'm just joking. Go ahead.
First and foremost, I think having everyone in the league present is the most important thing, especially as we get older. Dumbasses like Tim and Mike have kids. It's hard to get them out. So, got to make sure everyone can come and Luke doesn't have to leave early and stuff like that. So,
yeah, let's remind everybody. Today, we're shooting this on a Saturday morning. We were supposed to be live. We're not. And technical difficulties, some mix-ups. But we will be releasing this episode probably later in the day or Sunday. But this is our fantasy draft today, and we're pretty pumped. And that's the biggest thing, I think, for us is getting everybody together and having a good time.
Yeah, for me, it's the people. If you have players and clubs that will actually get into it and be constant throughout the whole year. I mean, and I don't know a time that I'm not talking to somebody about football at all. It could be, you know, February 15th and we're talking football for some reason. I love having our personal league that we have here, the draft's going on today. Hey, follow us on Twitter, Pony Cake Sports. We're going to be posting some videos and stuff of our league. Example, I bought a fog machine yesterday. We're going to have some fun. Follow us on Twitter. You'll see why we're using that fog machine.
Yeah, it's going to be... also, we have producer Danny in the house. He's in the back chiming in from time to time.
Hey, guys.
So there he is. But yeah, so... Like Mike said, you got to make it fun. And with us, it's going to be really different this year. Mike bought a fog machine. We got some speakers. We're hooking it up to the TV. We're going to be doing entrances, passing of the trophy. And we are starting this at, I believe we all got here before 9 o'clock in the morning. Our draft doesn't take place until 4 in the afternoon. And Mike is already drinking Busch Lights.
Yeah, I'm on my third beer right now.
Limited edition.
And we got it catered this year. It's big for us.
And, and that way we don't have to make food. I mean, I think every draft I've been stuck on the grill for the most part.
The last 2 years, yeah.
But to add some color to that, Josh usually doesn't have any picks until the 12th round.
Usually, yeah, I trade them away. So I'm good at drafting later on. But this year is a little different, so I feel a little bit better. But yeah, I think Mike hit the nail on the head. The biggest thing is... getting everybody together. What?
I mean, Spencer, too, he came all the way. We're in the Chicagoland area, and Spencer lives in St. Louis area. And but he came all the way up for this event.
Getting everybody together. But I think Mike hit the nail on the head. Doing something extravagant. I love the fact that we get everybody together. That's awesome. And yes, Spencer did bring that up. But Mike made another point of making it extravagant. Make it an event. Make it something to remember. Danny quit the league this off season, and you know what? He's still here ready to party. So that's a big thing.
I'm a little sad this year because I don't think we have anyone who lost any bets this year that, you know, they have to come here and face the punishments like
that
last
is
year.
That is a very good point that you make, Spencer, because the betting aspect, and that's one thing that I really do like about our league is we make stupid, ridiculous bets. We did a hair versus hair challenge last year, and it was me versus Spencer. Whoever lost had to get all their hair on their body shaved by the other person, which included arm hair, facial hair, eyebrows,
pubic.
I guess. But Spencer did end up welching out on the bet, semi-welching out.
The eyebrows.
Yeah, he did not want to get his eyebrows shaved off, which is understandable because you're going to look like a goofy asshole. So
I have a job, so... You know.
What we ended up doing instead is that from here on out, five times in our lives, I get to lion tame him.
Can we do it live? We'll put in the neck.
No, not right now.
Next to his mace when he's screaming in agony.
So the first one happened last draft. The second one will probably happen this draft. And then the other three, I'm saving for big, big occasions, like at weddings
on
the dance floor in the middle of everything. So I'm just letting you know now. That's my plan.
Our other punishment last year was a really good one. We have a dumb player in our league, Jerry. And he drops all of his players before the keepers, and then something happened where he needed to get one of those players back. Well, we said you could get him back, but we're going to throw a football at your face. All 11 of us are throwing a football at your face, and if you flinch, we get to nutsack you.
Yep.
And I think it was at least 3 nutsacks.
You were the first one. Nobody wanted to go first, and Mike goes, step back. I'm going to step up to the plate, and he throws this ball like Aaron Rodgers at Jerry, and I thought it was going to break his goddamn nose.
It was about 6 inches to the left.
The rule was for Jerry, every throw he could either protect his face or protect his balls, one or the other.
Yeah, so. I went for the face.
Yeah. Dude, it gets intense. The other bet that we had was a tattoo bet, and I think that's another way that you guys can spice up leagues and drafts. Me and Danny, we had a tattoo bet. Whoever had the better record by the end of the year got to pick the tattoo for the loser. And, of course, me being stupid, I said, if we tie, we both get one. And you know what happened? We both goddamn tied the last week of the season, and it was so dumb. And now we have tattoos of Arian Foster and Josh Gordon on our arms. So
The numbers. Yeah.
Not of the actual person.
And our casino dealer thought it was for Michael Jordan last night.
Yeah. Although when the casino dealer did say bet on 23 did hit. It did. That's pretty impressive.
That's crazy.
Also, let's talk about some of the other stuff that you guys like. PPR leagues, standard leagues. What is your guys' preference? Half point PPR, super flex, 2QB leagues. What's your guys' personal preference?
Personally, I like standard. I just make it simple, you know. But this year, we're making a change pretty soon to be going to a half point PPR. I think that really works with our league because... I was drunk the first 5 years.
You're still drunk.
Yeah, I'm already on beer number 3 and it's 9:30. But there's a lot of teams that fell behind. The people that were really good, there's two or three teams that are always really good in our league. This half point PPR is going to let lower value players get more value, which will even the playing field throughout and help even out our league a little bit. So it depends a little bit on what you're used to. I prefer standard, but the half point PPR that we're going to, I think, is good for our league.
Spencer, I know you like 8-team teams and leagues. What is your preference?
Yeah, I like the half point PPR. Most other leagues that I'm in, besides this one, do the half point PPR, so it's going to be a lot easier to keep track of everything. You know, I disagree with Mike. I mean, I think the shitty teams like Tim are going to still be shitty. So, speaking of that, how do you guys feel about my bet this year where I took me, Joey, and Tom versus the entire league?
I don't, like that because, the fact that I think I'm going to win. I have already bought a championship banner, said champion year, what are we, 7?
Year 7.
Did you buy it? Or
luckily,
did buy
luckily
it?
I was right on that. So, yeah, I'm champion year 7. It's not hanging up. It's in a closet. I'm not going to tell you which closet, but it is there. And
I will find it before the end of the day.
We'll see what happens.
And wear it as a t-shirt.
But, yeah, I don't like that bet for you at all. I think you're stupid. Definitely won't be Tim in the top, but Tim will be going 0 and whatever, 13, because team sucks.
Well, I feel bad for Tim, and I kind of like saying this now because he'll have to listen to it later. But he came in. We redo our divisions every 3 years, and he is in a really tough division. So his next 3 years, he's going to be in third place. So he's going to have a. You're going to see a general down. It's like he's just going to be madder and madder every episode as the season goes along because his record's going to get worse and worse.
Oh, yeah.
Like, just look forward to that. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to see how bad his team is. But regardless, drafting wise, talking about fantasy drafts, when do you guys like your fantasy draft to happen? I was in a draft, I think, a month ago. Wasn't even before the preseason started. It was like right there. And I think that's way too early, personally, because of injuries and everything. We are drafting basically end of week three, start of week four for preseason. I think that's perfect. What do you guys think?
I like as late as humanly possible, which is usually the weekend that we're doing it now, the week before football actually starts. I mean, if you look at what has happened just in the past couple of days, especially with the rule change where they can keep the 90-man roster until Saturday, so we're going to see a whole bunch of cuts today. But you look at, like, the Steelers yesterday. They cut their second running back on their depth chart, Trissett. So now their rookie Connor is really bumped up with Le'Veon's handcuff. You never even – maybe now if you drafted really early, you can pick him up on the waiver wire, but that's going to be tough and something that you could target as a sleeper in your draft that I'm going to be able to actually target today.
Yeah, Trussant, he was all right. He wasn't anything special, but when Bell was out, we saw Trussant do something, but it was also D'Angelo Williams that was there last year as well. But James Conner, in my opinion, if you guys are talking about sleepers, and we'll get to sleepers in a little bit, I think Conner is a waste of a draft pick. I really do. Le'Veon Bell, he signed his tender. He's going to be playing in the games. I don't think Conner is worth a stash in all reality.
You wouldn't even take him in like a 15th just because of Bell's injury history and everything?
I think it's a wasted pick. Yeah.
I think this weekend is the perfect weekend to do the draft. I actually, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe the preseason is completely over. I mean, all the teams
there's
play on Thursday.
Three games tonight, I think.
I thought all the teams played on
they
Thursday.
All play Thursday.
Maybe. I don't know. I thought there were three.
We don't know what we're talking about.
No games tonight?
I don't think so.
Producer Danny will check for us.
I'll look into it.
Thanks, Danny.
That being said, I think Labor Day weekend is the weekend we always have it on. Usually have it on a Sunday, but I'm an asshole and had to get the day switched this year. So I think this is the perfect weekend. I know, like I said, Josh said, doing the drafts too early, it's really lame. It's not fair. I mean, Edelman tore his ACL, Cam Meredith tore his ACL.
Yeah, Edelman could theoretically
Jordy Nelson a couple years ago. That had a devastated team because you would have drafted him in your first round.
Yeah, that is very true. It gets frustrating. It definitely does. And, I would be very pissed off if I was a Julian Edelman owner and I drafted him kind of high. But the thing is, no, I don't want a beer right now. It's goddamn 9:45 in the morning.
Oh, I'm saying you're a beer bitch.
Oh, yeah, not yet. But if I drafted Julian Edelman, I'd be very upset because I know in our Keepers League, our first round is the sixth round. And I was targeting Julian Edelman right there. And if we would have done this 2 weeks ago, I'd be a very pissed off person because that's my very first pick.
Yeah, and that goes a long way. Those first couple of rounds, man, that will make or break your team. And especially if you draft a guy and all of a sudden he gets hurt in the preseason, man, that kills your whole season. You got to start wheeling and dealing right there. And depending on what kind of league you're in, you might be able to take advantage of a couple people. But in our league,
Tim.
Yeah, in our league, people are really smart. I mean,
besides
thank you so
Tim.
Much, Danny. It's Yes, I would suggest for everybody out there, draft as absolutely late as possible and stick to that because then you can get your best information and all the scenarios kind of play themselves out. You can see who's going to start, who's not going to start. Your sleepers, you get a better feel for. I mean, hell, if you would have done before week one of preseason, Corey Davis might have been in your like fifth round, and now he's getting taken in what, like the 11th?
Yeah, then Corey Davis's ADP has been dropping steadily. And, people were looking at him mid-fifth round, seventh round, around there. I think that was the window. And now I think it's pretty much understandably that he is a ninth, 10th, 11th rounder.
Yeah,
which
Tim,
makes a lot of
Tim,
sense.
Tim had his own, another league where he drafted, 2 weeks ago? And
yep.
He got Corey Davis in the 14th.
14th, yeah.
Now he's up into the 10th because he's supposed to play week one. Things change,
yeah,
you know?
That's absolutely crazy. That's nuts. But it happens. Oh, you know what I was thinking of? I was thinking that the keeper deadline, there was three games at night. I remember that now, so I'm sorry. No more preseason games today. College football today, though. So,
can we address something you just said about you were going to draft Julian Edelman in the sixth round?
Yes.
I don't believe you.
Why?
Because you weren't going to do that.
I was. Ask anybody. That's what I've been talking about this whole time.
Yeah, it would have filled out as wide receivers.
Yeah, idiot.
Dur.
Let's talk a couple deep sleepers, guys. I know our draft is today, so I don't want you to give away who you're really targeting, because I know you guys aren't going to be honest. But if you guys had to give the listeners an opportunity to draft somebody a little bit deeper in their drafts for people that are listening today or tomorrow, which would be Sunday, who would it be if you guys had to come up with somebody? Try to take into account their ADP. If you guys don't know it, let me know. I'll pull it up real quick, and then we'll kind of just go from there.
So one guy for me I really like, he's not a super deep sleeper, but something people might not know is Chris Hogan of the Patriots. With Julian Edelman going down, on August 24th, Chris Hogan was being drafted in the 14th round. Now, because Edelman's down, he's being drafted in the 10th round. So if you have a league that doesn't pay attention too much, you might be able to snake him, especially with Cooks being the clear number one now.
Yeah, the quote-unquote go-to guy.
So Chris Hogan would be something I'd be targeting in the 10th, 11th round. And I know that's not a deep sleeper, but it's a pretty good one.
Spencer, I already know who you're going to say. It's going to be John Brown of the Arizona Cardinals. He's being projected at position number 134.
Well, I love me some John Brown, and he will be on my team by the end of the draft day because no one else in our league likes him. He got rid of his sickle cell.
You can't get rid of it.
I mean, he still has it, but it's under control now. They have it fixed. It wasn't fixed last year. He's going to do some big things. But for me, you know, I know a lot of people are high on rookie sleepers and deep sleepers, but I like to look at those second, third-year players that can make the jump. I think there's a couple players at tight end that you can get pretty late that are going to have a big year. Jack Doyle from the Colts and Austin Hooper from the Falcons.
Perfect. I love it.
So, you know, I think there's three or four tight ends that get drafted early, and other than that, I wouldn't touch the middle tier, and then I would wait for one of those two guys in the back end. I think you can get those guys in the 11th, 12th, 13th round. So,
yeah, it makes sense. Jack Doyle, he finished very strong last year. And the thing is, there's going to be probably no Andrew Luck week one, right? So with no Andrew Luck, if Scott Tolzien is the quarterback, he's going to be looking for a tight end over and over again.
Another guy for me that I really like is Corey Coleman. Now, and here's another example of why you want to draft later than earlier. I guess it hurt a little bit. But if you look just a week ago, Corey Coleman was being taken in the 11th round. Now he's being taken in the 9th round. The guy had a great start to last season. He was on Keenan Allen type numbers until he broke his hand. I don't know. He broke something.
He broke his hand. Yeah,
and then he just never came back. And in the preseason, he's already in the last game. He did pretty good. He's got a rookie quarterback who's just going to try to chuck it at times. It's for a ninth rounder. I think Corey Coleman is a great guy. And again, if your people aren't paying attention, nobody knows who Corey Coleman is. You could try to sneak him in the 11th.
Willie Snead, is he going to fall in drafts after?
Oh, absolutely.
He had a 4-game suspension back in April.
Here's the bullshit. This is another example.
April, a 4-game suspension.
And they never told us.
And nobody ever knew. And now it's been reduced to a 3-game suspension because of the appeal process.
Fuck Rocky.
Which I think the appeal process is so backwards. But basically, if you're given a 4-game suspension, you just appeal it and you're going to get a game reduced. That's the way that you're going to do it.
Roger Goodell owns the power. And what did the Players Association do the last contract negotiation? Give the appeal power to Roger Goodell.
And I believe they just extended Goodell, too, again.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, how much does that drop Willie Snead? Because Willie Snead, in my opinion, was the bona fide number two wide receiver. It's not Ted Ginn as much as Tim talks about, because Ted Ginn sucks. But I think it's Willie Snead.
I got a side question.
Yeah.
Before we talk about Ted Ginn and Willie Snead, Josh.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to tell you Roger Goodell's salary. I know it. But would you be the bitch man of the NFL for $44 million a year?
Oh, yeah. Come on.
That is the best job ever.
Yeah.
Everybody boos you at the draft. It's one of my favorite things to do when he steps on stage, especially in the first round in the draft. I boo him like crazy.
Oh, and, yeah. You have to.
But he sits there and goes, yeah, I make $44 million a year.
So you think his hands in his pocket just like crump one up dollar bills, $100 bills?
I actually think that Roger Goodell takes a lot of what people say to heart, though. I don't think he's got a very thick skin, to be honest.
I don't really care.
I mean, unless he cries in his wife's bosom at the end of the day every day. I don't know. Anyways, back to our conversation about Willie Snead and Ted Ginn. Listen, Ted Ginn's ADP has been going up. Willie Snead, obviously, has been going down because he's got a three-game suspension, which is great for me because I was targeting him in our fantasy league, and now I might be able to actually grab him in, like, the seventh or eighth. But, man, is that what the – oh, that makes me so mad. Yeah, first off, don't take Ted Ginn. Like, you don't take him for three games. Go find yourself another number three wide receiver or number two or flex, whatever
Tim
you have.
Tim says that Ted Ginn and Brandon Cooks can put up similar numbers.
No.
Let me keep talking.
I thought you were just about first to off, no.
Tim hates Brandon Cooks. Let's get on the record here and say that Brandon Cooks has ruined Tim's life multiple times in the last couple of years, and Tim does not like Brandon Cooks. That being said, no one is realistically going to draft Ted Ginn over Willie Snead, even with the suspension. If you do that, you're silly. They can both put up solid year. I mean, there's, 200 targets to go around that, you know, they're off the team. So they both could see 100-plus targets this year and put up decent years. But Willie Snead's still high and above the better player.
Does Michael Thomas's stock go up, or does it go down with Willie Snead out for three games?
Up.
I think it goes up. I mean, I actually drafted in a different league. I drafted Michael Thomas in the first round. I drafted him over some wide receivers like, you know, Mike Evans, Dez Bryant. I mean, I think he's...
I would have drafted him over Dez Bryant. Mike Evans, probably not. I think it's fair to say that he... Allen Robinson... I would have drafted Michael Thomas over A.J. Green at this point. I don't know about Julio, but I'd be close to it.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to get four.
Especially in the half-point PPRs. I mean, I think he can definitely finish the top three, even top wide receiver in a half-point PPR system.
I think they're going to force-feed him the ball.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think. How many targets for the first three games without Willie Snead is he going to get? Over or under 30?
Over.
Ooh. That's a lot.
I bet he gets 11 or 12 a game.
10 targets a game?
Oh, for the three games. Yeah. I thought you said
no, for the three games.
Yeah. No, that's good.
Drew Brees' arm will fall off. He's thrown 30 times Michael Thomas.
I'd be all right with that.
Dude, all right.
When is Drew Brees going to regress, by the way? I mean, it's coming, right? Like, all these older players.
One day he's just going to die. That's
Frank
what's going to happen.
Frank Gore. Brees.
One day he's just going to...
It's going to be on field, and then it's going to go down, and that will be it.
Are you guys always skeptical of drafting those older guys? I think I'm always skeptical of it, because I don't want to be the year they fall off. Like,
I'm not, because if I have the opportunity today, Larry Fitzgerald will be on my team at 6'12".
Hold on. Drew Brees, for example, right? His drop down is 4,500 yards.
Right.
That's still not bad. Yeah. No one's going to make, Drew Brees didn't throw for 500,000 yards.
You know what I think that suspension does? It helps out a sleeper like Alvin Kamara.
Yeah,
I think we'll see him out in the slot maybe a little bit. We'll see him get a couple more touches out of the backfield. I think that guy is one to watch later on in drafts as well.
I think those
And I hate Alvin Kamara.
Why do you hate him?
He quits at the end of the round. You watch his tape when he was at Tennessee. Jalen Hurd was the much better running back. Week one, Jalen Hurd, I think, had like 28 rushes or 23 rushes last year. And you look at Alvin Kamara, he was averaging, I think it was like 9.2 rushes a game, but he can catch the ball out of the backfield. That was what he did. And everybody thought Kamara was the better running back. Jalen Hurd was the better running back. Jalen Hurd quit on the team because they gave Alvin Kamara more touches later on in the season. But even when Alvin Kamara was given the full load, he couldn't carry it. So... that's why I'm not a huge believer in Alvin Kamara. But if you use him in the right way as a pass-catching running back, then that is very, very good. And you know what the Saints do very well? They use the running backs to catch the ball out of the backfield.
Dynasty PPR leagues, this is a great late-round steal because he may be the new guy because Adrian Peterson's not going to last that long. Mark Ingram's not going to last that long. They drafted this guy, and if he pans out, it could be an absolute steal. I want to play a game with Spencer, because I know you know the stance.
Are you trying to look up my stat that I just threw out?
No, I'm not.
Oh.
Okay. I want to play a game with Spencer, because I know you know these numbers already, because actually I was here on an episode a little while back that we talked about this. Spencer, I'm going to play over-under with you. This is for Ted Ginn Jr., okay? His total, I have all of his years pulled up. I'm going to say total yards in any given season, plus minus 950.
Plus.
Yeah, wrong. His highest ever yardage is 790.
Wow.
Okay. That was his second year in the league. Receptions, I'll give you 92 plus minus.
Minus.
It is minus because his highest reception ever.
70 something?
No, 56.
What?
In his second 72. Year.
But wasn't there a year where he had like 11 touchdowns or something in a season?
10 touchdowns in 2015 with the Carolina Panthers. So the Super Bowl run when Cam Newton was actually throwing the ball well.
You know what happened that year? They were like, Ted Ginn sucks. We're not going to cover him. And they just burned everybody. So.
And not to mention, he's 32. This guy's on the downside of his career. And this makes me so mad when Tim talks him up. Listen, he's going to be a burner. He's going to get some yards and he's going to get some targets because he's on the New Orleans Saints. That's true. But he's a wide receiver 4 or 5.
Yeah. If that. Yeah, wide receiver 5 for me. That's where I have him.
So there you go.
Not drafted.
Yeah. Not drafted. Yeah.
I would never.
Not on my team. No.
Let me ask you guys this. I kind of want to bring up the rookie wide receivers. We kind of touched on Corey Davis earlier. Look at some of these rookie wide receivers the last couple years. We have Treadwell. We have Josh Doctson. Those are two guys that were drafted in the first round. I think Treadwell was pick 22 and Doctson was up there as well. I can't remember. But those guys were high draft picks, right? Over and over again, we've seen Kevin White's another one, picked seventh overall.
Yeah.
All these guys, they're so highly touted, and we don't see anything happen with them. With these rookie wide receivers coming in, are we going to see any of them be fantasy relevant year one?
No. Williams is hurt. Ross is hurt. Corey Davis, thankfully, he had a hamstring, so it's not something like Williams where his back and Ross has his knee. So Davis may be able to come back and actually put up some pretty good numbers, but this is a pretty this is not a Amari Cooper, Julio Jones rookie type wide receiver class. This is
what about Zay Jones?
Yeah, he's the only one I see who could put up some numbers, strictly due to the volume of targets he's going to get.
Yeah, he's now the number one on the team. They shipped out Sammy Watkins. It just comes down to can Buffalo actually pass the ball to him.
Yeah, Zay Jones is probably the only rookie wide receiver I could see drafting early. And when I say early, I'm talking like 7th, 8th round. And that's early enough for me.
Pay attention to Twitter because I'll post this later. I'm not going to say it now because I'm actually targeting him. But there is a rookie that I am targeting.
Cooper Kupp?
Cooper Kupp.
No, not with Jared Goff. He has to prove himself first.
Kenny Galladay.
I'm not going to say too much anymore.
Got him.
But there is pay attention to us on Twitter at Pony Cake Sports, and you'll see what I...
It's Kenny Galladay.
I'm not saying that.
Okay. All right, so that's for the rookie wide receivers, and it'd be pretty funny if somebody reached on Kenny Galladay. I know we were talking about possibly somebody reaching on him in the 7th round. Apparently Tom is full of knowledge and telling everybody... I know this, I know that. First off, why is everybody telling Tom their draft plans? You know what I've been doing? Telling Tom what I'm going to do, and secretly, I'm not doing that shit, because I'm not an idiot. I'm telling Tom what I'm going to do, and then, yeah, Tom, tell everybody else, because you big dummy.
What I love doing in our fantasy league is smoke screens.
Oh, yeah.
I tell about 5 different people that I know talk to everybody, semi-truth, semi-false, yeah, and just see where it comes back to me.
Well,
what happens when it comes back to me?
It was funny because we were talking about Corey Davis, and last night, me being me, I'm like, I'm going to take him in the 7th round. And then I was like, you know what? I might just take him in the 6th round. And then Josh Schultz, another buddy of our league, he ends up texting me. He was like, oh, if you do that, I'll have to trade into the 6th round to get him. All right, do it, idiot.
This works out perfect.
Yeah.
In my
what
favor.
I like to do?
Yeah.
Not talk to any of you guys for the 6 months prior to the draft.
Apparently nobody listens to me on the podcast because I say I would not even touch Corey Davis until the 9th or 10th round. And I hold true on that. The only thing is, if you guys are listening to this today, Corey Davis may be gone in the 6th. So,
Josh is a liar.
I'm serious because, I mean, for our league, our first round is the 6th. But in a normal league, the 6th round is actually completely plausible because he's going to play week 1.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, in dynasty leagues, I wouldn't hate the fact if somebody reached on him just for the fact that he is a good dynasty stash. Rishard Matthews is not a very good wide receiver. When he was on Miami, he was the number three. When he went to the Titans, Tennessee, he was the number one. And Tajay Sharpe was taking targets away. Tajay Sharpe's not that good. But that rookie wide receiver, Taylor, I believe his name is, Tywan Taylor.
Yes.
He's looked really, really good.
Super sharp.
Yeah. Eric Decker.
So, come on, man.
Honestly, Eric Decker is going to outscore Corey Davis.
Good. I hope you draft him. I'll make a bet on that right now. Oh, done.
Steak dinner bet.
There we go. I don't want no Mike steak dinner bets either.
I don't pay him.
Where do you take him?
Corey Davis or Eric
Decker? Where do you take him for their steak dinner bets?
Nowhere. Oh, no.
I give him a flax steak if they're lucky.
Nowhere.
You'll get Texas Roadhouse out of me.
Excellent. That's what I like.
I didn't say I have to take you out to dinner. I said I'll just give you a steak for dinner. That's all you get is a piece of steak on it. Oh. It's raw.
you cook it yourself.
We're a package deal.
We split that up.
Mike with the semantics here.
Let's move on to rookie running backs here. I want to know. So when we go to rookie wide receivers, we obviously say stay away from them until later on in drafts, right? Rookie running backs this year, little different than the last couple years.
There's a couple things. This is a super strong rookie running back class. Next year is going to be pretty good too. But this year in particular that we're talking about right now, man, there's like six guys that you could talk about and – a couple of them are deep sleepers. Alvin Kamara, we talked about him a little bit earlier. I like James Conner. I know you don't. I think James Conner is a great handcuff to Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers, especially since they cut Dorsett. But, man, the top four, I think we should talk about them for sure. Fournette, Mixon, McCaffrey, and Cook.
Yeah, and then now you can even roll in Kareem Hunt into the mix with the Spencer Ware injury. So technically we have the big five. And then I think, honestly, in dynasty leagues and everything like that, all rookie drafts, those guys should be in your top eight.
McCaffrey, in the mock draft you guys did the other day, was taken in second, early third?
McCaffrey was taken in the second round in a full-point PPR league. And then it was Dalvin Cook. And then it was Leonard Fournette. Then it was Leonard Fournette. Then it was Kareem Hunt. And then it was Joe Mixon last out of all of them.
I think taking everybody hiding on Joe Mixon is watch him. Please watch him. Especially I think week three, he got like a little ankle tackle and the guy was balancing on two legs and one hand, had the ball tight to his chest so there would be no chance of a fumble and got like an 11-yard carry out of it. It was a fantastic. I mean, the amount of cuts, his change of direction is so. Just you watch it and you go, oh my, how did he humanly possible even do that? Sorry, my wife was calling me. But he has the catch passing ability. This guy is going to be a future star in this league. It's an absolute shame what happened to him when he was 18 years old, but he has learned from it. So please don't take that into effect. The Cincinnati Bengals are going to use him. It's going to be great. Maybe in year like 4 or 5, start looking to trade for him. Cause I could see an ACL going out the way he cuts, but oh boy, if you get this guy, especially in a dynasty league, it's going to be great for years to come. Target him in the third round, fourth round.
For me, I think out of those main guys, I think the top one for me is Dalvin Cook. With those rookie running backs, especially if you're looking, I mean, a lot of guys, if you're taking them this high, you need them to produce this year. And I think Dalvin Cook has the best opportunity on the best team to make that happen this year.
But that offensive line is very suspect. They have gotten better, but they are not that good. But I do like Dalvin Cook, but I like Christian McCaffrey too. We are going to take a short break, and we will be right back.
Tired of ESPN, Bleacher Report, and every single website out there giving you the same information, the same exact opinions over and over and over? You need to check out our friends at CleatGeeks.com. CleatGeeks gives you everything from wrestling to football to MLB to MMA. They bring you every single thing you need to know as a sports fan. If you're tired of the everyday opinion, make sure you go check out our friends at CleatGeeks.com.
I have been searching and searching and searching for sports memorabilia over and over again, and I can't find a good place to basically find exactly what I need. Until just recently, PristineAuction.com, they have everything that you can imagine. UFC stuff, NFL, MLB, NBA. They have autographs from players in all those leagues. Pictures, jerseys, helmets, anything you can imagine. You can go on there right now and get a signed Antonio Brown jersey for $150. Framed. Signature. Everything. You can go on there and get some gloves signed by who? Mayweather and McGregor for $550. A little overpriced, but it is what it is. It's an auction. Go on there, get what you need, pristineauction.com. Check out their daily deals that they have going on, and, you know, be happy with some of the stuff that you buy. Again, we've been going to Pristine Auction the last couple of months now. We're extremely happy, so hit them up and see what you can get.
Pony Keg Sports, my name is Terry. I have no friends, and I just want to talk about fantasy football. What should I do? Well, Terry, you should go to DraftingSleepers.com. It's a growing community with smart individuals like us at Pony Keg Sports. We will answer your questions. And there's people talking about fantasy football 24/7. If you guys are like Terry and have no friends, go to DraftingSleepers.com, join the community. I'm so tired of so-called prophets giving me terrible fantasy football advice.
I'm tired of these corn-fed cousin kissers on the four-letter network trying to steer my goddamn team into the wall.
And I'm tired of juiced-up, washed-up linebackers trying to pretend like they know fantasy football. Gentlemen, that is exactly why we created Pony Keg Sports, your number one place to go for fantasy football sports every Tuesday night on WBLZ. We got balls, baby. Woo!
All right, everybody, we are back from commercial, and to be honest, I never get tired of those commercials. They just make me laugh.
They're great.
So, again, if you guys have not done so, please check out those three places, Pristine Auction, DraftingSleepers.com, and then also CleatGeeks.com. So, just make sure that you guys hit those places up. Let's move on. We talked a little bit about the Dalvin Cook. We talked about a little bit of
rookie
Joe Mixon. Leonard Fournette, not a big PPR name. Understandably, he didn't really catch the ball a lot at LSU in college. But he goes from the top tier number one running back in most people's eyes after the draft. And now he's sliding down via PPR drafts. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
I don't think people saw enough of him in the preseason. You saw Chris Ivory taking the starting team reps. You look at Blake Bortles and everyone goes, oh my God, he's still the quarterback. He got replaced by Chad Henne in week three. And now Blake Bortles has been named the starter again. And he got hurt in the preseason. So nobody really knows what to expect from him. But this guy's a stud. I mean, if you had a horse, that's like $1 million sperm. That's what this is, right? The guy he's a phenomenal athlete. He can catch the ball. He wasn't used at LSU, but he absolutely can, and he will in this team. They're going to do screen passes with him. They've upgraded their offensive line. Don't be a hater. Just be happy. When you have the opportunity to take him, I'd say in the mid to late third, be happy with that pick. He's a running back one.
Thoughts?
I don't like him. I think he's going to be a bust. Out of the rookie running backs, I think he finishes fourth or fifth.
Let's rank the rookie running backs now that we're talking about it. We have Kareem Hunt, who is the appointed new greatest running back, and he's getting drafted in front of pretty much everybody. So you have the five. Let's rank them. What are your ranks for these rookies?
Are we ranking them for this season or for
this season, and then let's do dynasty after that.
All right, for this season, I'm going to go Cook, Mixon, Hunt, Fournette, McCaffrey.
Wow. What? I am going to go with Mixon because I had him pegged as a top five running back. I just think it's going to take 3 weeks for him to get there. McCaffrey, Fournette, Hunt, Cook. That's where I have
him. Wow. Yeah. I didn't see you putting Cook all the way that down. Yeah. I have Cook at my number three. I have Mixon my number one. McCaffrey my number two, Cook my number three, Fournette my number four, and Hunt my number five. I think Hunt, now that's the thing is Andy Reid, man, he does a great job with running backs. He could actually prove me wrong, but there's something about him I just don't trust yet.
Yeah, no, I'm the same way. I don't think Hunt should be anointed, quote-unquote, that guy yet. You still have Charizard West, who is a very good running back, which is funny because Tom's wife really thought his name was Charizard and didn't realize that's just what we called him. But yeah, while we were doing the live show, she's like, who the hell would name their child Charizard? Well, nobody, because it's a Pokemon. So, but I like Hunt, but I was just never that big on him in the draft process. I watched him over and over again, and I just wasn't that impressed. As much as I don't like Jamal Williams, I actually thought Jamal Williams looked better than Kareem Hunt in the draft process, and I'm not high on Jamal Williams this year. So what are your guys' thoughts on Jamal Williams and some of the lower-tier running backs?
Yeah, I was going to say, let's talk about the Denver running back situation with C.J. Anderson.
Yeah, let's do that. So C.J. Anderson, we have who else? Henderson as well, right? And God, who's the
Jamal Charles,
and then
Booker.
Yeah, Devonta Booker. That's who it was. What are your guys' thoughts on that backfield? I like C.J. Anderson this year. I actually think it's a pretty solid pick. The only thing that I would be really worried about is nothing, because all those other running backs are not that good. So as much as I'm not a big fan of C.J. Anderson, I thought you were going to keep him in our keepers league. You ended up not doing it. But I think you're going to get him with that pick two or three if I don't pick him at 12.
I'm definitely targeting C.J. Anderson. You better not draft him. So, I mean, I think C.J. Anderson's clearly the best running back on that team. I mean, Jamal Charles is good, but he's tore his ACL, what, two times in his career? I mean, I don't think he's going to – he'll maybe get 5 to 10 touches a game. I don't think Booker is anything special, and I think ESPN had it up the other day. Pretty interesting. They had blind resumes up from 2014, 2015, and C.J. Anderson was up against Le'Veon Bell, and it was pretty neck and neck, to be honest. So the talent's definitely there. He's just got to stay on the field.
Plus, that offensive line is not the worst offensive line. They drafted an offensive tackle. He's going to be a starter. So they added pieces to that puzzle. I think they will be just fine. I think C.J. Anderson's a sleeper pick this year because I think he's getting slept on, especially later on in drafts. And they saw what he did last year, and it wasn't much because he was hurt. And when they gave Devonta Booker the full go-ahead for that team, he didn't do much.
No.
He's better in a timeshare.
What year was it that he was, like, the number one?
It was the year that they drafted Monte Ball.
It was 14-15, because that's okay. That's the year that they were using the stat line on.
He really fell off the world, right? And I used to make fun of him all the time. But the coaching staff came out at the beginning of camp and said that he lost weight and he looked cut. You know, muscular cut. He was yoking, you know.
Yoked.
But he looks like the real deal in this offense this year. I don't know if something awakened in him or I don't know what was going on in his life, but he looks like the real deal. I would not be unhappy taking him. He's actually a guy that if you look at my draft board, I have a star next to his name, so I could actually, if he's there at the right spot, I'm going to take him. And you can't be unhappy with that. Jamal Charles is a guy that's going to get limited touches. And he looked good in the preseason. I think did he play in week four? I think he played in week four. Or was it week three? I'm sorry. If it was week three or week four that I saw him. But he had a couple of really good runs. And you could see him. He got hit. And it was actually a low hit. And I went, okay. He got up and he popped up and he was happy. And he was bouncing around. So he's a guy that you could take as your running back four, running back five. And if you have some really bad bye weeks and injuries, you could plug him in and know he's going to get 10 to 12, I'd say 10 to 15 touches and be okay with it.
Guys, this makes me real nervous. I dropped C.J. Anderson thinking that everyone else in the world hates him.
Everybody does hate him.
He's one of the Spencer specials where I can just draft him wherever I want because no one else will touch him. But now you guys are telling me...
You got C.J. Anderson, you got John Brown.
Now you guys are telling me that you guys like him and you might take him, and this is going to ruin my entire draft day.
Yeah, you better trade up in the sixth round. Kasan Williams, Seattle Seahawks. He's a wide receiver, and they just traded away Jermaine Kearse to the Jets. Kasan Williams is now locked in my opinion, as a top four wide receiver for the Seattle Seahawks with Paul Richardson. You're going to have Tyler Lockett and Doug Baldwin. So I think those are the top four wide receivers on that team. Kasan Williams has looked really good in the preseason. Is he going to move his way up to the number two or number three wide receiver? Would you even consider drafting him later in drafts?
No, he's a late, after week six waiver wire. If he starts coming alive, maybe has a crazy game one like Allen Hurns did his rookie year,
yeah.
And then you pick him up. But he's a guy that you just let sit there and take him. Don't draft him. Anybody that does draft him, you laugh at him and you throw your beer at him, and then you just wait for him to hit the waiver wire and then you pick him up there.
Anyone who drafts him is basically the equivalent of the Jets. What a bad trade that was.
One last player that I want to bring up, unless if you guys have anybody else, Chris Carson. What are your guys' thoughts on Chris Carson? I've been talking him up for weeks now. People call me an idiot, mainly Tim and Tom. But honestly, Chris Carson, he's getting a lot of run with the ones and twos. And with Eddie Lacy still, quote-unquote, banged up and not fully healthy, in my opinion, he may be, but I don't think he is. And then you have Thomas Rawls, again, not completely healthy, hasn't played in the preseason game. And then you have CJ Procise, who, again, cannot stay healthy, did play in this last preseason game. What are your guys' thoughts on him?
So I'm going to touch on the Eddie Lacy not being healthy. I think the Seattle Seahawks are being smart. They picked him up and they paid Eddie Lacy, and they're giving him limited touches during the preseason. I think that's super smart because he does have a huge ankle injury history. Thomas Rawls, he's been hurt on and off, but he's the clear number one in that team. I would say look for them to split carries overall. And then you have CJ Procise. He's going to get hurt and just be done for the season. Then you have Carson. This guy is a stud, and the Seattle Seahawks have been playing this perfect. They've been giving him as many first-team reps as they absolutely can to see what they have in him, because they drafted, like, or they did free agent draft, whatever it was.
Yeah, I think he was like, a seventh round.
But there was, like, 12 total running backs they had on. It was some ridiculous number.
And I believe they already cut. Did they cut Alex Collins, or are they trying to trade him still?
Alex Collins currently is still on the roster. Okay. They're number five, but I mean, cuts are today, so who knows what's going to happen. But Carson is a guy that he's proven that he can pass block with the number one defenses against him. So don't be afraid to take him in super late. I wouldn't take him early. Don't think he's going to start. I don't think he's going to, you know, this is a rookie that they can groom and prove for the future. But this year, I wouldn't think too much to it. Unless Thomas Rawls or Eddie Lacy goes down, then you can take him in as an extra handcuff, and it's a great pickup.
That's a backfield situation that just scares me.
I wouldn't want to touch
it. Yeah, if you could avoid touching that in the draft, I would definitely avoid it.
You can get Thomas Rawls pretty late, probably, I think, like 11th, 12th, 13th round, when Eddie Lacy is going in the 8th and 9th round. So you can get him a little bit later and still feel comfortable with that because they've been named quote-unquote co-starters, which is atrocious.
Stupid.
Well, and, you know, Eddie Lacy, the good thing is, like, maybe Thomas Rawls, I don't know how he feels about this. Eddie Lacy's used to it because when he was with Green Bay, the first team offense got the first rep. The second rep, James Starks would come in. So he's used to this back and forth. But now, Thomas Rawls, I don't know. So Eddie Lacy, I think Eddie Lacy, I'm a Green Bay fan, so I'm just gonna be quiet because
Mike loves Eddie Lacy.
I'm gonna talk up Eddie Lacy because I'm wearing an Aaron Rodgers jersey with a Packers T-shirt underneath it.
All right, let's get ready to wrap this up real quick. Victor Cruz was just cut from the Bears a little bit ago. Does he continue his playing career with any other team?
Someone's gonna need him.
Maybe not right away to start the season, but in a couple weeks, I think, like Mike said, someone will need him.
Okay, Cooper Kupp or Zay Jones.
Zay Jones.
Zay Jones.
Cooper Kupp or John Ross?
Oh, Cooper Kupp. John Ross has got a knee injury.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm just asking.
Kupp.
Okay. Let's go with Stephon Diggs or white guy from Vikings, Adam Thielen.
Thielen.
Ooh.
Well, is it PPR or half point PPR?
It's PPR, yeah. Oh, just imagine this.
White guy. Out of the slot.
Yeah, Adam Thielen is being moved to the slot now, and Stephon Diggs is moving out of the slot to the outside.
Yeah, you got to take the slot guy in full PPR because he'll get more targets over the middle.
Think about the quarterback, too. Sam Bradford.
Check down.
check down guy all day. Mm-hmm.
Two guys that are ranked really close in ADP, DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin.
DeSean Jackson.
Jeremy Maclin.
Maclin for me. Two guys ranked pretty close, Dante Moncrief, Chris Hogan.
Oh, that is a tough one. Because Chris Hogan, you saw him in the last week of preseason. Man, did he had, what, like three touchdowns, something like that? So he could be absolutely fantastic. But Moncrief, and we don't know who Moncrief's quarterback is going to be, because it could be Scott Tolzien, which don't be afraid, because he was a former Green Bay Packer under Aaron Rodgers. You know what I'm saying? But he could, he's a touchdown vulture. So as soon as Andrew Luck comes back, man, that's going to be great. That's a good question. I'm going to take Chris Hogan.
I think I lean Moncrief as long as Luck doesn't miss significant time.
I lean Moncrief as well. He's a red zone machine. He just catches the ball for a touchdown. Let's go with Michael Crabtree or Martavis Bryant.
Martavis.
I'm going to go Crabtree. I don't think he's going to have a down year like you guys have been saying he is.
Those guys are vastly different in ADP, 30 spots different.
Crabtree's higher?
Crabtree's higher. Number 17th ranked wide receiver, according to the four-letter network. Let's do two more.
Can we start calling it the network that shall not be named?
Like, I actually named it. I didn't know that's what they like to do, so I apologize to Pony Gang Sports.
Dez Bryant or Doug Baldwin?
Doug Baldwin.
Neither?
Question mark? Dez Bryant's going to get hurt sometime this year, and he'll be out missing games, and Doug Baldwin's going to catch passes like he always does.
I just want to say this. In our league, I turned Spencer Ware into Mike Evans by the end of it.
Yeah, you also traded first-round picks, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that math doesn't add up.
It adds up.
No, it doesn't.
It's not bad. That's all I got to say. I got second-round picks in return, so whatever. Now, me personally, I have Jordy Nelson a little bit higher on my list than some of these other wide receivers, the top-tier guys. I'm going to ask you guys. You have the top five wide receivers. Who's in your top five?
Jones, Evans, Julio. Julio Jones, Odell Beckham.
Yeah.
We got
Antonio Brown.
Antonio Brown, obviously. Jordy Nelson. Yeah. And I'm going to throw in a little bit of a wild card, but A.J. Green. I think he stays healthy the whole year.
Interesting.
I'm going to go with Evans, Brown, Beckham, Jones, Michael Thomas.
I am going to go Antonio Brown, no specific order. Antonio Brown, OBJ, Jordy Nelson, Mike Evans. No, I take that back. Antonio Brown, Jordy Nelson, Mike Evans, Michael Thomas, Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks.
I've been down on Brandon Cooks all year long.
Top five?
But with Julian Edelman dropping out, I think Brandon... Are you lifting over there?
our producer's lifting.
I think with Julian Edelman out, I think it just makes sense right here.
If Brandon Cooks finishes top five, this league should be scared.
He could be the Randy Moss and then some. Because Randy Moss, when he came in with the Patriots, was just catching touchdowns.
He was.
But Brandon Cooks is more than that. He's a guy that deserves 100 receptions a year.
Cooks can go across the middle and get yards after the catch, and I don't think he gets enough credit for that.
That yak, bro.
All right. Well, that's it. Anything else? Last parting words at all?
Can we do a two-hour show?
No.
Can we end with, like, how we hate Tim?
If you want to.
Tim, I hate you so much, and I hope you get eaten by a shark. Or ate by a shark, I should say.
Anything, Mike? All right, that's all we have for you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed. Again, no Tim or Tom this day. Yeah, you're six beers in, right?
I've had five beers in this hour.
Wow, that's interesting. He's supposed to pick up our food in like 3 hours.
Mike is going to drink 60 beers today because I have to go get him another 30 packs. So.
Yeah, I'm drinking Busch Light.
So hope you guys enjoyed this last episode before hopefully you draft. Hopefully this does help you out a little bit. Again, we are Pony Keg Sports. Thank you for Mike and Spencer jumping in on this. Producer Danny in the background lifting weights. So I appreciate it. Thank you again. Hope you guys enjoyed. Also, check out our buddies on DraftingSleepers.com, CleatGeeks.com, PristineAuction.com. Get yourself a signed Le'Veon Bell jersey if you want one. Who doesn't want one? If you don't want one, you're an idiot. go on there. There's really easy ways to do it. Go on our Facebook, our the website. Go on Twitter. Hit us up, Pony Keg Sports, and ask us some fantasy questions. And you're going to be automatically enrolled into the giveaway. So it's really simple. Mike, last thing?
Yeah, Tom's going to have a super cool intro for our fantasy draft this year. So please follow us on Twitter. We're going to post a video onto our Twitter page.
That's all we have, guys. Until next time, appreciate it. Thank you.
What's up, sports fans? It's the coach, Mike Faber.
This is Chris Sly, the Fantasy Guy.
And we make up the Fantasy Fix every Sunday morning here at 10 a.m. on WBLZSports.com.
Other shows will tell you to start David Johnson and Ezekiel Elliott. We told you that's who you were supposed to draft before the season started. Listen to us every week. We'll give you those fantasy picks that you can't find anywhere else to help you win your league that week.
We don't have any funny accents here.
All we do is win. Listen to us and you'll do the same. We out. Send us out. Send us out, Chris Sly, the fantasy guy.
That's all, folks. Better listen.
Doug Pepford painting and pressure washing. You know, Chad, he has over 30 years of painting experience. He's interior, exterior, commercial, or residential. Doug Pepford covers it all. Is your house looking ugh? We'll call on Doug. Doug Pepford Painting and Pressure Washing, 404-966-3361. Mention WBLZ Sports and get a special We've Got Balls discount. That's Doug Pepford Painting and Pressure Washing, 404-966-3361.
What's up, podcast peeps? This is Brandon Reed from MyFantasySportsTalk.com. Check out myself, Dan Schalk, and Orlando Torres in the My Fantasy Podcast every Friday from 3 to 5 Eastern Time right here on WBLZSports.com. We got the primetime drive spot locked down, helping you get ready for the weekend. It's My Fantasy Podcast right here on WBLZSports.com. We got balls. Do you?
Hey, this is Webb from the 8-Bit Bros, and I gotta tell you, whether it be for your industrial, commercial, or residential needs, Gen Services is the electrical contractor for you. The Gen Services team has the expertise, commitment, and educational years to help you solve all of your electrical concerns. They have you in their best interest with helpful suggestions to accommodate your every want. Give them a call no matter the size of the job at 740-438-7173. Mention WBLZ Sports and you'll get a discount. That's Gen Services, 740-438-7173.
Hey, everybody. I'm Hayden Gibson, host of the County Fantasy Sports Podcast. We specialize in fantasy football, and it is the offseason, but we've still got the NFL draft, free agency, everything to talk about. So be sure to tune in, get that extra edge against your competition, and we're going to be talking a lot of wrestling during the offseason. So if wrestling and football intrigue you, tune in every Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WBLZ Sports. We've got balls. So let's go there.